Are Republicans waging war on Milwaukee? Do Republican policies hurt or help our state's largest city? We will talk with a Republican state lawmaker from Brookfield who says the GOP is waging a war for Milwaukee, not on it. And a Democratic state lawmaker from Milwaukee who begs to differ. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will welcome your thoughts and questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Have state Republicans been friends or foes to Milwaukee and why? Let me welcome our first guest, Dale Coinga, Republican state representative from Brookfield and a member of the Joint Finance Committee. His opinion piece that ran recently in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is titled Republicans Waging a War for Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So why do you suppose there is a perceived Republican war on Milwaukee or with Milwaukee?
Yeah, this isn't a new concept. I think for years in Wisconsin, there's been a, you know, Milwaukee versus the rest of the state mentality. And I think that just politically, that's just kind of when you represent Milwaukee, you want to throw bombs at their party saying, hey, why are you waging a war against Milwaukee? But, you know, it takes some responsibility to take a step back and look at the things we've done. And if you look at the bills that we've passed, we've taken on issues that are bipartisan issues that need to be addressed that were specific to Milwaukee. So we're talking about Milwaukee mental health reform, the county board reforms, which passed in a resolution by 70%, huge transportation issues like the home bridge issues, new interchange. I mean, there's a laundry list of things that we've done. Marquette Police, having them a force to help out the Milwaukee Police. So there's a laundry list of things we've done and things this governor's done, like Transform Milwaukee, which is hundreds of millions of dollars in projects for economic development, public housing, where we really have a specific focus on Milwaukee and say, listen, I think we are, and especially as a Christian, I think we are one giant community. And I don't think that the Milwaukee issues end at the border. And, you know, individuals like myself, my wife, people that I'm associated with, and even the legislature, like, we really want to be involved in public policy solutions in Milwaukee because we all have a vested interest in seeing Milwaukee succeed.
Well, State Representative Fred Kessler, who we will hear from in our next half hour, says, in reality, you're in love with Brookfield, not Milwaukee, because that's where you decided to live. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in Milwaukee. I moved to Milwaukee in 2001, and I always thought it would be a one-year deal, and I just fell in love with the city. Fell in love with the city, fell in love with the community. I still lived on the east side for about 5 years before I joined the military. You know, for us, it's a personal decision. We're close to our church. We're close to our friends. And we, you know, it's not that we're not part of the Milwaukee community. I mean, I have meetings downtown nearly every day, worked downtown for years. So, I mean, I really don't, I think it's very, kind of a short-sighted view to say just because you don't physically reside in Milwaukee, you don't have a say or a stake in those issues. And I think that just like Milwaukee has strong opinions on what's going on in the suburbs, and politically there's always been a lot of talk about how, I think the mayor Barrett himself has said that we're a region and we're in this together. So, you know, Representative Kessler is definitely on a different page than the mayor on that, because the mayor has even said that, hey, listen, we need to work on looking at our issues as a region, not as just a city.
What prompted your piece, which ran earlier this month, May 5th, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel? What prompted that?
That's a great question. I actually get it. Have received a question several times now since I wrote the article. I was invited to a party in downtown Milwaukee, and at that party, there was not a very politically diverse group, and I was one of the only Republicans there. And there was a couple Democrats that made a fairly large scene. It felt like to me that made me feel very uncomfortable being in that setting, and really pointed out a lot of things we did, like the streetcar. really made it uncomfortable. So I thought, you know, I could get mad about this, or I could go back and say, you know what, we haven't done a really good job in communicating these issues, and put pen to paper and say, it's my job as a representative not only to pass legislation, but I have a responsibility to communicate better as far as why we're doing things. So, like, particularly on the streetcar, one of the reasons we drove to do that was it's going to raise utility rates. And, you know, in the inner city of Milwaukee, let's say, like, they need real transit solutions. Like, they need a way to get from their home to where jobs are. And Milwaukee County is in that business, not the city of Milwaukee. And so when you look at issues like the streetcar, it's going to raise people's utility rates that are least likely to afford them, and they actually need real transit solutions. So those are the type of issues where we have, I think, as Republicans, we haven't done a really good job of messaging why we're doing things. And at times we come across like a bull in a china shop. And it's really important to me, because I think it's good for starting a conversation, a dialogue, that people know what our intent and where our heart is. And as we go through the specific legislation, talk about why we're doing it. And it's really because we do have a heart for Milwaukee. We want to see Milwaukee succeed.
And what exactly did Republicans do that affected the proposal for a streetcar in Milwaukee?
Yeah, so, I mean, and that's a good clarification, too, because the perception is that we said you cannot have streetcars, like, as we banned streetcars. We didn't do that. All we said was that if you're going to have a streetcar project, you cannot raise the utility rates. You cannot pass on these costs to utility rates and then have everyone else pay for those. And those are electric costs, cable costs. But the biggest cost is, like, steam costs, right? The steam system under town, in that part of town, is very, very expensive to move, which would disproportionately be absorbed by places like Sinai Hospital, which focuses on a population that doesn't have a lot of disposable income and would raise the rates there, or Marquette University would have to absorb all those costs. So really looking at just saying you cannot pass on these relocation costs to consumers, but we never said you can't have a streetcar. So those are important distinctions, because I think it really says a lot about, you know, what we're focused on. And I don't think anybody on the Republican side is a fan of the streetcar in Madison for many different reasons. But we didn't go out and ban it. We just simply said you cannot do tax increases through higher utility rates.
Yeah. The Republican-controlled legislature did remove Milwaukee's residency rule, and Representative Kessler said getting rid of that residency rule means that you know, city workers who help keep Milwaukee's neighborhoods safe and alive are now leaving the city while collecting pay and benefits from city taxpayers. Why did the GOP tell the city of Milwaukee you can't require city workers to live within your boundaries?
Yeah, and that was a tough issue. I mean, I understand there's good arguments on both sides of that issue, but to me, what it came down to, because I personally know folks in this position, is that there are some really talented spouses that could become teachers in Milwaukee public schools. And essentially with any organization, what you don't want to do is you don't want to limit your talent pool, right? Like, you want to have the widest net possible. And even though Milwaukee Public Schools would hire you if you're outside the city of Milwaukee, there was a rule that said you had to move within the city of Milwaukee in a certain time period. And there are a lot of talented professionals in our region that would love to teach there, but we're in a position where their family is now settled in another part of the state or the region. And so really, to me, it increased the amount of talent pool that was available for Milwaukee Public Schools, which is important because, you know, we need there's definitely a certain skill and different challenges that go with an urban versus suburban or rural education. Suburban's different than rural's different than urban, and urban's different than suburban. And there's some professionals that are in our area who have real expertise in that and really want to get in the city. And so, if their husband's a physician in Sheboygan or a physician or in another part of the state, like, why don't we allow those spouses to get in the city and teach? So that's where you look at those issues. There's two different sides of those issues. I understand the city's position on the issue as well, but I think that there was other public policy issues that need to be dealt with as well.
We are talking with State Representative Dale Cuenca. He is a Republican State Representative from Brookfield, member of the Joint Finance Committee. We are talking with him about his opinion piece that ran recently in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says Republicans are waging a war for Milwaukee, not against it. We'll hear a different perspective after 7:30. Now we want to hear your questions and your views on whether or not you think that Republican policies have been good or not so good for the city of Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report, and we are taking a look at whether Republicans have something against Wisconsin's largest city. We are talking in this half hour with Republican State Representative Dale Coinga, who says the GOP is waging a war for Milwaukee. And then after 7:30, Democratic State Representative Fred Kessler will claim that Republicans have taken every opportunity to wage war on Milwaukee. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. Let's go to the phones. Our lines are full. Charlie in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, thanks, Joy. Wonderful program as always. I was going to say that Milwaukee's biggest problem is education. The only way that you can get people out of the lower socioeconomic areas is but through education, and the only way to and people who are in the upper economic status will live where their children can go to good schools. And the Republicans have done two things, including the residency requirements and its position on teacher unions, to strengthen the Milwaukee schools so that people will stay in Milwaukee. Thank you.
So, you agree with that, Representative Coinga?
No. If you look at this past budget, we increased money for public schools, and because Milwaukee Public Schools gets the largest portion of that pie, they got the largest increase. We also did things like reforms in education. I'm particularly a big fan of charter schools. If you look at charter schools were started by Democrats. They are championed by Democrats, including President Obama. In New York City, de Blasio, the mayor of New York, just got in on an anti-charter school platform, and the Democrats in Albany slapped him down and said, no, charter schools are good for the kids. They are public schools. It's different than the choice program. Here in Milwaukee, we can't find a single Democrat that supports charter schools. Charter schools are not a partisan issue. And we've done a lot of things for charter. We've done also a lot of things for choice. So we're looking at education reforms because Charlie is correct. Education is the biggest issue in Milwaukee. It's the start to our conversations on crime. It's our start to our conversations on economics. And we really need to focus on education. We've been doing that.
Milwaukee's unemployment rate was 9.2% in March, compared to 5.8% for the state as a whole. What are Republicans doing to put people back to work in Milwaukee?
Yeah, the Transform Milwaukee project is a huge project, and it's probably its own conversation, which spans from the 35th Street corridor all the way down to the airport. And if you don't know much about that, I encourage you to research more of that. But there's also a lot of issues that aren't specific to Milwaukee, but Milwaukee actually got a great deal on it, and it's statewide. So what if we were going to say that, you know, everyone in Milwaukee going to college is going to get tuition freeze? That's the case right now. If you go to a UW school, you will have a tuition freeze. We're cutting property taxes for both residents and businesses alike in Milwaukee County. And, you know, in regards to folks that are on hard times, we expanded Medicaid, Badger Care, to 100% of the population at poverty and below. And so a lot of those legislation we've done that had a huge impact on Milwaukee wasn't necessarily specific to Milwaukee, but definitely increases that safety net and makes business a more friendly place to be in places like Milwaukee.
Chris in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I've been listening all the ways that Republicans hate Milwaukee, taking my money for private school vouchers, forcing us to have guns in the city that we didn't want. You can't get public transportation out of the county. The buses stop at the county line. The county board, we like the county board. It was a check on the county executive, and the Republicans shredded our board. the homes. The feds gave this money for foreclosed homes, and the governor kept most of that money. Most of the prisoners are black, and most of the black prisoners come from Milwaukee. What do you think you're doing for us? I'll listen offline. Thank you.
Well, Chris is pretty passionate about that. I don't know if you can address each and every one of those issues, but
I'll try to grab a couple of them. I mean, the county board, and that was a 70% issue. I mean, if it's probably even higher than that. I mean, the county board needed reforms. I think folks saw that. Transit, we did put more money towards transit in this budget. We actually increased transit funding. I had a great conversation with Chris Abley. He made a very convincing case that transit was a jobs issue as far as getting people to the jobs. And, you know, those ideas typically don't carry a lot of weight in Republican caucuses, but we listen. We listen to folks in the city, and we increased transit funding in the budget after the governor introduced it. There's a lot of different issues here. On foreclosures, you know, the number one thing you do on the foreclosure process is keeping people in their home, and you do that by lowering their monthly payment. One way to lower monthly payments is by lowering property taxes. We are doing that. So, there's a lot of different issues. They're probably their own show.
Well, yeah, they're true. But we touched on education, but she said she also resented her, you know, taxpayer money going to vouchers to pay for private schools. And how does that program help those who are still in public schools in Milwaukee?
Yeah, you know, if you have money, you are in a great position where if you don't like the standards or the principles of your local school, that you could take your own money, a private school, and you could send it to a different school. That is a right that shouldn't be afforded just to people that have money. That is a issue of choice that we should also extend to people that don't have those financial means, to give them opportunities to go to schools that are specific to their principles and their standards, or maybe their interests, if they're interested in a specific type of education. And that's what charter schools do, that's what choice schools do, and that's what even public schools do. So just providing mobility to people no matter what their income level is. I mean, I think that, you know, a lot of folks on the left are concerned about, you know, special privileges for folks that make more money. And to a certain extent, like, I think I have the same concerns on issues like education, right? Like, there shouldn't be special privileges for people with more money that give them significant more access to better schools than individuals that don't have the blessings of financial wealth. And so that's what really about choice in education is about, whether it be from public to public or public to charter or charter to a choice or with any of those categories. There's all schools that are great and the schools that are not doing so well, but providing mobility to the parent or parents is what we need to do.
Yeah, and briefly, I believe you did bring up the gun issue in your piece. She says, people in Milwaukee want to do something to control gun violence, and the Republicans are standing in the way.
Yeah, no, I don't remember doing anything specific for Milwaukee that stands in the way of gun issues. I mean, the fact is, Illinois just became the 50th state, and there's 50 states, and they became the 50th state to pass concealed carry. So Wisconsin was the 49th state to carry. Illinois is the 50th state. So that at this point, even with issues like concealed carry, that is a nationwide policy now. And a lot of those issues with big cities and gun ordinances has been mostly decided by the Supreme Court. That came out of Chicago with handgun bans, and the U.S. Supreme Court has said that they can't do that. So I don't recall any legislation specific to Madison where we said, hey, for Milwaukee, this is going to be your gun rules.
Let's go to Carrie in Augusta. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, good morning. Representative, sometimes choice isn't even in the equation for young folks that are looking at education because they are looking at basic needs of shelter and food. My son's recently moved to Milwaukee, and he's astounded by the number of young people who are homeless living on the streets. What is the Republican agenda meeting the needs of those folks?
Briefly, because we're almost out of time, Representative Cuenca.
Yeah, there's for specifically for homeless youth, I think a lot of the issues come back to issues like the high incarceration rate for black males in Milwaukee. And when you have these issues of parents in jail that are incarcerated at such high rates, we need to take a good look at that. And been spending some time in the city speaking about that issue. Representative Rob Plutton's going to have that up this summer. We're looking at doing some changes. But, you know, we have high incarceration rates. We have other housing issues, which Transform Milwaukee is addressing. And so we really need to do more. Education is the start of that. To address those problems, there is a long list of issues, solutions we need to come up with still and tackle those issues. In addition to what we've done already, we'll continue to do that.
Just a minute to go. For some who say Republicans are trying to hurt Milwaukee because Milwaukee is run by a Democratic mayor, it votes Democratic, what do you say?
No, I mean, I know that some folks think it's personal. I mean, I've sat down with the mayor. It's nothing to do with that he's a Democratic mayor, and we're trying to give it to him. I mean, this is we're seriously trying to find public policy solutions, and this is not a war with Mayor Barrett. This is trying to serve the people of Milwaukee. And my message, I guess, at the end of the day, I mean, it goes to the policies that we've gone over previously. But my message to your listeners and going forward is, if you live in Milwaukee, you have access. And you have access to folks like myself, folks like Representative Hutton, Representative Sanfilippo. I mean, we're here to listen. And based on the issues that we hear, like, we could come up with principled policy solutions that don't compromise your principles and don't compromise our principles, but move Milwaukee forward. And we're going to continue to have those conversations because it's important to us.
Thank you so much for being with us. We'll hear from another lawmaker after the news. We just heard from a Republican state lawmaker from Brookfield who says the GOP is waging a war for Milwaukee, not on it or against it. But now we will hear from a Democratic state lawmaker from Milwaukee who begs to differ. I'm Joy Cardine. This is our State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We welcome your thoughts, your questions on this. Do you think that Republicans have been friends or foes to Milwaukee and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our next guest is Fred Kessler, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee. His recent opinion piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is titled GOP's Hypocrisy and Spin on Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for being with us. Well, State Representative Dale Coinga joined us in the last half hour to explain how he says the Republican Party is helping Milwaukee. And you call that spin. Why?
Well, first, I think some of the legislation that they've passed is absolutely outrageous. Probably the most egregious is the reduction or the law that they passed, which removed the authority of the city of Milwaukee to impose a residency requirement on its public employees.
Yeah, so he said that was a good thing because that would allow, you know, really a good qualified people who might live outside of Milwaukee to still be able to work in Milwaukee and help Milwaukee.
It had just the opposite effect. It basically took away the middle class from Milwaukee. We were blessed by the fact that we had policemen and firemen living in all our neighborhoods. That contributed to the atmosphere of protection. We were pleased that we had teachers living in there because their children went to the Milwaukee Public Schools, and they had a vested interest in how education turned out. And so when you take away that residency requirement, you're pulling away basically, a group of people who were being paid from tax by the taxpayers, but making middle-class salaries, teachers, policemen, firemen, even garbage collectors and the rest of the municipal employees. That was very important in an urban area. It also had another impact. Milwaukee's a fairly large city. Geographically, it's not easy to travel unless you're on the expressways. And so when there's an emergency, it kept public employees, particularly firemen and policemen, close to where incidents occurred. And if you needed them, you could call them and they could get there with their expertise, you know, the detective who investigates a homicide, things like that.
Yeah. Well, why would the GOP be interested in harming Milwaukee by, for example, specifically the removing the residency rule?
The Republicans have traditionally been endorsed by the Milwaukee Police Association, and it's a payback. They were benefited. The police have long called for a removal of residency, and they've always been supportive of Milwaukee, and they received a substantial benefit, payback, when the residency law was repealed. Now, you have to understand, the residency law was actually a part of the union contract. It was a negotiated agreement between the city and the union, particularly in the police case. They received a higher salary, and the residency requirement was maintained. They received a better pension. The residency requirement was maintained. They received probably the best duty disability law that you could ever expect. It's almost impossible to remove a police officer on a duty disability situation.
Yeah. Well, any other examples of laws or policies that were implemented by our Republican-controlled legislature that hurt Milwaukee?
Oh, certainly. I'll tell you the one that really sort of angered me was towards the very end of the session, we saw that the mental health procedures and laws were changed in Wisconsin, affecting only Milwaukee County. Now, the way the law was changed, in the past, the county board implemented the mental health facilities, and there's no question that there were some serious problems in the way it was run. But those problems have been ongoing, and many of them started during Governor Walker's tenure as county executive. They changed the law, and they said the county board will no longer do this. Instead, we'll appoint a state board to administer mental health facilities in Wisconsin. Most of those appointments are to be made by the governor. And the board has the authority to spend however much it needs. And the county board must appropriate the money determined by the mental health board. In other words, taxpayers have no control over how that money is spent or how much money is spent. We're the only county where that's the case, where we are required to pay whatever this newly created board, which hasn't been completely appointed yet, decides it must pay, and the county must just cough up the money and has no authority at all to do so. Now, there were alternatives offered, including setting up a special board just for Milwaukee County for the mental health facility that included mental health experts. But that was rejected. That was another issue where Milwaukee must pay money out but doesn't have any control over how it is spent. And that I think, is just sort of taxation without representation. And I'm surprised that people who, you know, sort of claim their background as patriots would forget a slogan and would forget how many battles were fought over the question of taxation without representation.
Jonathan in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Jonathan.
Hi, this is Jonathan Brostoff. And first of all, I want to thank Representative Kessler for his wonderful leadership on this issue and fighting for Milwaukee. And I'd also just like to say that the 25-year failed experiment of school choice vouchers, where we have all the data now, we've seen that the public school students are outperforming their private school counterparts. It's time to put that failed experiment to an end. How about we try a 25-year experiment of expanding the SAGE program, where no more than 18 students are going to be in any MPS classroom? And I'm sure that we would see better results from that. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, I guess I want to keep this kind of to the not going off into a talking about what the pros and cons of
the voucher schools, though, are a very important issue.
Right, right. They were passed, though, with some Democratic support way back 20 years ago, weren't they?
They were. They were passed as an experiment. It was passed as an experiment, and part of the cost was shifted to the taxpayers of the Milwaukee public school system. Some of the money was taken from the property taxes that everybody paid for public education. That was a point, though, when there were maybe 500, 600, 700 students in the voucher program. There are now 27,000 students in the voucher program. And basically, they aren't doing any better than the schools. In fact, in many cases, doing substantially worse in some of the entrepreneurial schools, where they're being taught by teachers who have no experience or degrees in teaching. Some where the teachers were not even paid, and instead the owners of the school absconded with Mercedes cars and things like that. There were some terrible experiences. A couple of years ago, there was a Mandela school that was at 44th and State. It turned out to be scandalous that teachers weren't paid, and the school owner walked off with a substantial amount of money. These weren't schools that were designed to educate kids. They were designed, in some cases, to financially benefit the persons who started the schools. Some of the schools probably were fairly decent, but even they did not want to hold themselves accountable. One of the biggest complaints that those of us who've been in Milwaukee and saw how that law was being operated, it kept being expanded. But the schools never were willing to establish a common testing process with the public schools. We never were able to rate, a parent was never able to rate which school produced the best test results on English, on mathematics, on the various fundamental school subjects that between, you know, at age grade 3, grade 5, grade 6. You could not tell because the voucher schools did not want that. Because they knew they weren't comparing well to the public schools.
We are talking with Fred Kessler, Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee, who says that the Republican Party is so waging a war on Milwaukee by passing policies and laws that hurt Milwaukee. This is despite what Republican State Representative Dale Coinga said in an op-ed piece earlier this month, and who we spoke to in our last half hour. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. What do you think are some of the biggest issues facing the city of Milwaukee today, and which party do you think is better suited to solve them? Do you think that Republicans have been friends or foes to Milwaukee, and why? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to our State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about whether the state Republican Party or Republican lawmakers are helping or hurting Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We talked with a Republican lawmaker in our last half hour who said Republicans are helping Milwaukee. Our guest in this half hour says no, they are hurting Milwaukee. Fred Kessler is a Democratic state representative from Milwaukee. And our next caller is Robert in Milwaukee. Hello, Robert.
Hello. Just yesterday I drove by the Talgo train sitting south of the former A.O. Smith factory, which is was started by the previous Democratic governor administration and is now being sent probably to Michigan. It could have been running to La Crosse, Chicago to benefit, especially people living in Milwaukee. And then, of course, in the transportation area, there's also the proposal by the Republican administration and transportation department to spend $1.2 billion to add a fourth lane just between 25th Street and 70th Street in the city of Milwaukee. It won't benefit people living in Milwaukee. It'll certainly benefit people living in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. Your comments?
Representative Kessler.
I certainly agree with you on both of the issues. I think that the expansion, they were talking about a double-deck freeway on that stretch of the highway. That would be outrageous. It would look terrible. I think it would depreciate the property values. And I think the people who live next to the freeway are just absolutely opposed to it. And so from the point of view of what we're doing in that highway, it would just be, in my opinion, inappropriate, especially since there is an easy answer. You could actually expand to four lanes on the existing road bend, provided the speed limit was limited to 45 miles an hour. I think that's a reasonable alternative. Mayor has checked that out. He talked with the legislative delegation, and I think almost all of us support an effort to limit speed limit on the highway, on the freeway, and then, if need be, allow 45 four lanes to be built and reconstructed on that stretch. On the train, I agree with you. There's a couple of other things that I want to touch base on that I thought were really negative towards Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. One of them was limiting the right for early voting. Milwaukee had an incredible election turnout in 2012. 87% of the registered and eligible voters in Milwaukee voted in 2012. And many of them, almost 40,000, voted what we'd call early voting. They would come down on the weekend. Church groups organized all their members to come in and vote early, brought buses down to the city hall. There's only one location in Milwaukee where early voting can occur. Only one location in every city, and that has to be the clerk's office. They want to limit the hours of early voting so that every community in the state votes at the same time, claiming this is fairness. But there's no other city that has 40,000 people engaging in early voting. And that was, to me, an effort really to suppress particularly the votes of elderly and minority communities.
Yeah. It is something that affects Madison as well, but and other, you know, that did have more extended hours. Why would the Republicans want to do this?
I think that they realize that that if they're going to win an election, they have to stack the deck. And that's the only thing I can think of. I can't think of any reason that you would discourage voting. The same way they wanted to limit voting rights by requiring the voter ID, knowing that there are many people who are not going to get it or who have serious problems obtaining birth certificates in Arkansas and Mississippi and southern cities and never can get proof of their identification. And I think that's the real reason that they want to discourage people from voting who have traditionally voted for the Democrats rather than them trying to persuade those people through public policies that it would be acceptable to vote for Republicans. They'd rather they didn't vote at all.
Matthew on Facebook says, Democrats have run Milwaukee for 100 years. They created this mess. It's not really a question, but I guess the implication is Democrats aren't doing a great job with policies to help Milwaukee. Maybe Republicans should be trying to reform things.
Matt should read a history book before he makes a statement like this. from 1916 through 1960, Milwaukee had a Socialist Party mayor. Actually, from 1912 to 1914, they also had a Socialist Party mayor. So when he says the Democrats have run this for 100 years, no, they haven't. Eventually, the Socialists were defeated because the Republicans in the state decided that they weren't going to allow partisan elections anymore, because they thought that if they would combine with the Democrats at that time, they could defeat the Socialists. And ultimately that happened. But this wasn't a situation where it was liberals versus, the liberals on the left were the Socialists. And there were many, many people who were Republican mayors who served in Milwaukee during that time period. Certainly the first mayor, Zeidler. Carl Zeidler was a Republican. So we've had a lot of Republican participation, Republican majorities on the city council, people who, although they're nonpartisan, had traditional affiliation with the Republican Party. When he says Democrats have run that city for 100 years, that's just an error, and he ought to read his history.
Representative Klinga also said that Milwaukee gets more state aid than the other 39 biggest municipalities combined, no one's out to get Milwaukee. It's being cared for with state aid. What's your response to that?
Milwaukee has 600,000 people. Madison has 200,000 people. Racine maybe has 60,000. Green Bay maybe has 80,000. I think if you combine the next 39, you wouldn't reach Milwaukee's total population. But the other thing that's really important is Milwaukee has poor people and people who are in need of services. Milwaukee, because they have poor people who are unemployed, who haven't had the educational opportunities other cities have, we've had to also bear a burden that was higher. We've had to have more policemen. We've had to have basically more social service agencies. We've had all sorts of expenses that you don't have in the other 39 cities. We see Madison slowly is now, having to spend money doing that. And I'm sure Green Bay and Racine likewise. But nobody has the concentration of poverty that Milwaukee has. It got its...
And I'm afraid we're out of time, Representative Kessler. We'll continue on these issues another time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Fred Kessler is a Democratic State Representative from Milwaukee. Thanks to Bill Mertens, Robin Cherry, and Christy Taylor for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.